Okay, and this is the 31st, March 31st, 1954, an hour's lecture on simple procedures. A little more data on opening procedure. Why does opening procedure work? How long should it be worked? A few remarks concerning when it wasn't worked. Opening procedure was invented, gotten together, used, tested, released, because auditors were having a difficult time getting pre-clears to start running. That is to say, they would get 8, 9, 10, maybe more hours in the auditing room upon some pre-clear before that pre-clear would start doing anything. What was this period? It was a period of the pre-clear trying to get used to the idea of being under the auditor's direction and instruction. It was hours of the pre-clear being very aware of the auditor, being very afraid that the auditor might say something that the pre-clear could not execute, and so forth. In other words, it was a communication pattern in building. A communication pattern was building up during those first many hours of auditing, and it was obvious that they were therefore to some degree wasted. All right, how did we short-circuit that? The best way to do it would be to get the auditor pre-clear relationship on solid footing as soon as possible in such a form that the auditor would be able to know exactly whether or not the pre-clear was executing, and so that the pre-clear could discover whether or not he was going to get into serious trouble just because he was being audited. So, to get over that hump, opening procedure in its three steps. Opening procedure is very simple to run. It is simpler to run than it is ordinarily run. People make it more complicated than it is, mostly because they find it monotonous. But monotony is the keynote of it. One of the first things it will do is very advanced. It's a very simple procedure. But you understand it takes in an awful lot of elements. And one of the simplest things it will do, if worked for an hour or so, will be to get the pre-clear over the hump of boredom because of duplication. If you ran opening procedure in a relatively monotonous fashion, which is to say he went to the same things, same type of thing, and so on, you would find the pre-clear getting up toward a point where he wanted to scream, finally. He just would just be getting so bored. Well, now, if he were sitting still going through that process, he would balk, he would scream, he would quit. He's liable, if he's that type of pre-clear, and that's a lot of the pre-clears, the ones that you'll have trouble with, certainly, he would have the impulse to rise straight out of the auditing chair and quit the session. Why? Because it's getting too monotonous to him. All right, let's put it in the front wall, put it in the side wall, put it in the other wall, put it in the ceiling, put it in the floor, and it's put it in the front wall, the back wall, and all of a sudden the pre-clear has just gotten these commands over and over, and he's done them over and over. Well, it's too, the first thing he'd do would be to just start blowing his stack. And he'd say, scream. He'd want to get out of that chair. The actual fact is that his legs would be getting so nervous that he could hardly hold them still. In many, many cases, this type of boredom, you might call it, takes on a physical aspect. It's painful. He just can't stand it. Nervous tension. This is fear of duplication, unwillingness to duplicate. The mechanics of this are very simple. They're simply this, that the pre-clear feels that if he keeps doing this, he's going to arrive someplace. And if he arrives there, it's going to hurt. And the closer he comes to arriving, the more it's going to hurt, because he's right in the middle of an engram where, let us say, he smacked the ground after a 1,000-foot fall. And you just keep working him, and he's working just a little bit further through this engram, and a little bit further, and he's going to get to the point of impact. And he doesn't want to be there. Or let's say he hit the ground and bounced. Well, having bounced, of course, you're moving him back to the impact point. He just isn't going to go back to that impact point. It's a problem of can't, must not arrive. You see that? You see how that would interfere with communication? if you can't be certain things or be in certain condition, you can't, of course, communicate with those conditions. And if this is the case, why, the individual can't arrive. He doesn't dare be any place. And so you get this pretty clear. He's sort of floating halfway out of engrams and three-quarters of the way out of present time and here and there. But he has no place to flinch to. He doesn't dare flinch because he's in the act of flinching. These arrival points are all painful as far as he's concerned. And you've just given him a hard shove and said, boy, you're on the road to clear. And that, too, is an arrival point. Or you're on the road to a duplication of an old incident. No, no. Well, if your pre-clear was sitting still and running this, unable to discharge some of the energy by physical action, he would be in a very bad condition. He'd actually jump out of the auditing chair. The second you began to be monotonous on auditing, he would leave the auditing room. Why monotonous? That's just duplication. You get what duplication is? Duplication is essentially it mustn't happen again. Mustn't happen again. That's the keynote of it. That's the phrase, the thought that goes along with it. Mustn't happen again, or mustn't happen twice, or there must be no duplicate of it. It's all the same sort of thing. So we've got this fellow sitting way back in the past someplace going, no, see, maybe he's in a dentist's office, you know, dentist about to pull his teeth or something like that, you know, and he's saying, mustn't happen. Well, the funny part of it is, if he really protested against the dentist pulling his teeth on a stimulus response basis, he would actually be running in the middle of an experience whereby he's having his teeth pulled. The fact he's going to have his teeth pulled by duplication on a stimulus response basis pulls up a facsimile. He has machinery which presents a facsimile of teeth being pulled. This is painful. Before the third, fifth, sixth dentist on the line even picks up any forceps, this fellow is in pain. Why is he in pain? The effort to pull his teeth is getting his teeth pulled in the past. Well, why does this go into restimulation? A very simple thing. He is fighting in the past. He's got his energy, pressures, everything is all set up there to resist the conclusion of an event. Well, all right, let's say he resisted the conclusion of an event. You come along and you tell him he's going to conclude an event. Just by auditing him, he will all of a sudden sense that he's about to conclude some event which he mustn't conclude. In other words, it mustn't happen again. What's experience? Experience is that activity or condition or whatever you want to call it, whereby an individual knows in present time what is painful by reason of occurrences in the past. If an individual's had painful occurrences in the past, then in present time, he knows he mustn't engage in those again. He mustn't touch the stove because the stove hurts. Now, when he sees a stove, he gets a picture of the stove hurting him. This is a stimulus response by facsimile. So he mustn't duplicate. He mustn't duplicate touching the stove, so he stays well away from the stove. Stimulus response. This isn't thinkingness. Actually, a thetan in good command of himself and situation, environment, knowing where he was and so forth, would know very well if he were trying to keep a piece of energy from being spoiled that it shouldn't hit corrosive things. He wouldn't have to have a bunch of facsimiles to bar him from touching stoves. But the thetan who has gone along and is united with a body which is fully equipped on stimulus response mechanisms gets up to a point where everything is automatic. The second he sees a stove, there's a tiny tingle in his fingers. It tells him stay 5 feet from the stove. See, because it's if he gets any closer, he's liable to touch it. So he's being restrained mechanically by forces and identities he knows not what of. He gets very confused after a while. He thinks he's under direction from all directions. And he's being told by unseen forces and unseen things that this, that, and the other thing are liable to happen to him. He has some feeling like the environment is very dangerous, but he doesn't know why. Well, there may be a stove in the environment, and that's telling him don't touch. See, don't arrive, don't touch, don't connect. And he doesn't know then. He thinks he's anxious about his wife, or he thinks he's anxious about cats or kings or coal heavers or anything but the stove, because the stove is don't touch, and don't touch is also mustn't look at. So he never sees the restimulator in the environment. He just never sees it. It just goes automatically, and he stays away from the stove. quite automatically staying away from the stove, but never recognizing why he is staying away from the stove, but at the same time being told forcibly by a facsimile that if he touches the stove, he'll be hurt, because the thought to touch the stove causes him to have a burning sensation in his finger. You see this? As a stimulus response mechanism, there's just nothing to this but the environment ordering the fellow around without the fellow's consent. What do we mean by stimulus response? Just that, the environment ordering a person around without the permission or consent of the thing. That is stimulus response. All right, let's look at that in terms of don't arrive. Mustn't touch the stove. You notice you have to contact things before they hurt you. So therefore, nearly all the mechanism in the bank on the basis of duplication and so forth is painful. Mustn't touch the stove again. Mustn't duplicate the action of touching the stove again. Well, if you look at a communication graph, you'll find out that something has to contact a receipt point before you've got a full communication. So again, this is a point can't arrive. So all of this stuff, dizzy as it may seem and so on, all ties together on the fact that one mustn't duplicate. Under no circumstances must one duplicate. Don't duplicate any of these past actions because they're all painful. Therefore, all of life is painful. Therefore, there isn't anything but pain any place. One mustn't duplicate any pain. So really, one mustn't live. And when he gets enough experience, why, the thing he really learns is that he mustn't live. That is the end product, the reductio ad absurdum of experience, stimulus, response, teaching, that one mustn't live. Now, because these facsimiles are actually a bunch of unseen orders, contacts, and other things, they're unseen, you see. They're not differentiated. They're not recognized. He doesn't identify them. He doesn't spot them. He doesn't go over this chain of experience analytically to discover what has happened in the past. He simply reacts. He must be getting an order then. And where's the order come from? Well, Lord knows. He just kind of knows he mustn't touch the stove. Well, it's the basis of an order. Well, you get a preclear that's doing very badly, and the first thing he'll know is that he mustn't receive an order. He knows this. Now, just below that, a preclear who's in terrible condition, he's receiving orders, but you might as well be auditing a footstool. Because all of the commands you hand out will be simply obeyed by the footstool, just as though you'd push the footstool. Now, it didn't do this footstool any good to push it, so in such a case, it doesn't do the preclear much good to be audited unless you've broken through this mass. What is this last preclear? Well, he's actually in a hypnotized condition. He is totally under the orders of the environment. Or he's totally under the orders of every person in the environment, selectively. You can tell this preclear. There isn't one in this unit. You can tell this preclear very easily. He has an eye flutter. Or he has a glazed set of eyes. The iris is expanded all the way out. He's very easy to tell. He's hypnotized. He's in a permanently hypnotized state. His reactions aren't necessarily insane reactions at all. He's just running on the environment. Something says this way and goes that way. You start auditing one of these preclears after he's listened to a tape. You know, he's listened to one of my lecture tapes, something like this, and it says this and that is wrong with a preclear, and by golly, that's what you'll find wrong with him. And you could make a lecture tape, stated with great deliberateness, very, very convincingly, you could make a lecture tape that would say, well, now the actual cause back of most aberration in most preclears is the fact that they're wearing their shoes on the right and left foot, respectively. Whereas, as a matter of fact, this was never intended. They should have interchangeable shoes, which could be worn either on their right or left foot. And it's a matter of shoes here. Actually, you see shoes. It normally is shoes. Freud speaks of foot fetishes. And we see then that shoes are the underpinning of the body, so this symbolically could, of course, be the underpinning of the case. We can go on like this, and we'd say the technique to do this is so-and-so and so-and-so. And at the end of that time, after this is done, the individual develops a considerable euphoria, and he's very happy. You'd get this case. You'd audit him. He'd insist on auditing shoes. You'd audit out shoes, his conflicts with shoes. And when you finish this, if it were done right according to rote, why, he would feel some euphoria. Yet you wouldn't have done anything for the preclear at all. In went the tape. You pulled it out. I mean, there we have. Now, in any large number of people in off the street, if you had 50 people, and the average people in this society just grabbed them at random, well, you're liable to find anywhere from 1 to 5 people present who are doing just that. Now, these people have another thing which fools an auditor. And you certainly better be alert to this. Because this can cause an auditor more trouble, and he can be more upset about this. The case isn't improving, and yet it's such a nice case. There's such a nice person. They're so agreeable. The preclear merely sits there and agrees with everything the auditor said. The preclear agrees and agrees and agrees and agrees and agrees and agrees and agrees. You say, all right, now, what'd you do? And he says, he knows what he was supposed to do, you see. So he simply agrees that he did that. Yes. Now, you feel better now, don't you? Yes. Yes. Actually, this darn preclear isn't even running the auditing commands. They're just sitting there agreeing. They're actually totally under your control. If you were to suddenly say to them, a lion is now wrapping his fangs around your head, the preclear would probably turn pale. The other night in that group lecture at the hotel here, told people to get the worst hallucinations they could get. You know, there were about 3 people present. Just because I'd said that they could get a hallucination, got one, and then, of course, couldn't handle it. And so I told them to get it again and get it again and do the same thing over 2 or 3 times, and then it eased down. But one of them was left in a considerable unease until the last of the additional material of where you are not. And that was the first thing the preclear chose, of course, where you were not. It had to find some places where they were not. Well, they were not in that hallucination. Mm-hmm. And that eased it off. But this was a shocker to them. Why? Somebody said to them, there's a big lion about to wrap his teeth around your neck. If you said that to this preclear who was agreeing, they'd have the lion. Now, if you said in addition to that, you see, it's a symptom of the case that a person in your condition sooner or later finds snakes crawling out of their pockets. Now, let's see if you can find any snakes crawling out of your pocket at this moment. This preclear would find snakes crawling out of his pocket. So, that's one of the reasons why you don't talk any more to a preclear than you have to talk to one. Because you're liable to get a level of case that's on an agree, yes, yes, yes. They're not doing anything. They're just agreeing. You're running them just like you'd run a marionette. And you start handing them any additional data over and above exactly what you have to say to them in terms of auditing, and this preclear is just shot. Why? Because they pick them all up as aberrations. They're in an hypnotic trance. Now, let me give you a manifestation of hypnotic trance so you get this even more solidly. You can take somebody, say, look in deeply into my eyes. I'll concentrate on my eyes and so forth. And when I count from 1 to 5, your eyes will close. And so you keep this up. Extend your hands in front of you. Now you find them extended in front of you. You find them impossible to move your hands down. He will. He's hypnotized. All right, now if you were to say to that person, a kangaroo, you give them some other things to get them in deeper, get them agreeing with you, you see. And you say, you will now find a kangaroo 1 inch high sitting on your right knee. He would actually see a kangaroo and believe it was there, be utterly convinced it was there. See, he'd have that kangaroo. You said he had the kangaroo, he's got the kangaroo. Now compare this person. Well, you wake him up afterwards, you say, when I count from 3 back to 1, snap my fingers, 3, 2, 1, snap, you awake. All right, and so on. But he'd wake up, and he'd be out of your control at that moment. But you've got too many preclears that walk in to see an auditor who are themselves in a sort of a somnambulistic state. They are pretty bad off. Now, they're going to puzzle an auditor because they're very agreeable. They are apparently very nice people. They don't do anything wrong. They do everything right, and they don't get well. Well, recognize what you're doing with this case. You're saying, now, did that help you any? Well, they don't want to make you feel bad, so they say, yes, yes, that helped. Yes, they agree. Well, how the devil would you ever check up on this case or on the case that just covertly says yes and does something else entirely? And how would you check up on a case which was running on a lot of machinery, which is to say machinery is obeying the auditing orders, unless you visibly could look at their body walking here and there and doing this and that? You'd sure know whether or not they were doing anything. Well, supposing this person who was agreeing with you all the time, there's another symptom of the case. Supposing this person that was agreeing with you all the time was asked to and did put, let us say, apathy into the front wall and into the back wall and into the ceiling and into the floor and into the side walls and the front wall and the back wall and the ceiling and the floor and the side wall and the front wall and the back wall. All of a sudden, just about that time and just about that fast, they suddenly go, everything is getting very tense. One of the reasons this is happening is the person isn't creating his own energy. He's simply using residual energy in the body, and you're exhausting the energy level of the body down. That's one symptom. But that is just a symptom of something else. You're asking them to go through the same motions several times, which is to say duplication. You are actually making them make it happen again. And of all the things they know this. It must never happen again. They know they mustn't arrive. It must never happen again. They must never touch anything significant in their case. All of these things go together. These things they know. They may not know if the sun is shining. They may not know if the floor is under their feet. But by golly, they know it must never happen again. They're not even sometimes sure what. But just it mustn't. And you ask them to make anything happen twice. You say, put some apathy in the ceiling. 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 All of a sudden, they're going to go zing. And they're liable to jump out of the auditing chair. Or they're liable to collapse into a sort of an apathy and quit on you. Various manifestations are liable to set up which will immediately stop the progress of the auditing. You might not detect that this progress of the auditing had stopped, to tell you the truth. They might feel that they are in a sufficiently unfriendly environment, so they'd better suppress any protest which they make. And they simply, after that, just sort of get by one way or the other. You aren't auditing anybody. You're giving them commands, they're receiving them, they're either doing something else or they're not doing anything, they're just being agreeable. All right, how do we cross this little bridge? Well, you start running opening procedure. You have the person walking around, at least you have him in motion. And when he strikes this terrific level of boredom, when he strikes this terrific tension, if he's going to strike it, after you've asked him to do several things, like let's go over and find a spot on that corner of the room there. Let's put your finger on that. Okay, now let go of that and find a spot on the center of the table and put your finger on that. Okay, now let go of that. Now find a spot over in that corner of the room and go over and put your finger on that. Now let go of that. Now find a spot on the table and go over and put your finger on that. Now if you just kept that up for a little while, you'd see this boredom manifestation start to cut through on the individual. But fortunately, he's in motion. He doesn't quit on you. He is in motion. You've got him going. You can inspect him. You can watch him. I have had a preacher throw a tantrum on this. You know, get down in the middle of the floor and scream. But after a while, got him up and got him going through it again and broke through, you might say, the boredom barrier. You know, there's a sound barrier and other barriers. There's probably this boredom barrier. Well, you'll break a preacher through that. You might as well make up your mind to break a preclear through that sooner or later, because you're going to have to. It had better occur while you're doing something like opening procedure than while you're doing some thoughtful process, because actually they'll just clam up and kind of grit their teeth and clench their eyelids, and that'll be that. Auditing will go no further. Well, you can get too complicated with opening procedure in that you can give him something that's very difficult to do. And you can make the mistake in opening procedure of letting the preclear do several things and then have him, here's one of the, about the only real mistake can be made, it runs like this. Think of a new place to go. Now change your mind about that and think of a new place to go. Okay, now change your mind about that and think of a new place to go. This is all the time he's waiting to go someplace. Now change your mind about that and think of a new place to go. All right, now go there. This new place to go, he was running out of places in the room, and he was trying to get different, and this new place to go was down, straight down through the floor. He can't do that. You'll give him a failure. So just recall that that sort of thing can happen, whereby you're running off without getting any response to the preclear. So you want to substitute in, where was that? Now think of a place to go. All right, now where was that? All right, think of a new place to go. Okay, where was that? In other words, keep him communicating. Don't let him just run through a lot of things through his mind. Otherwise, he's liable to get in one of these impossible situations. This can be quite upsetting to him, by the way. He just thought of going down through the floor. He knows you've already told him to change his mind 5 times, so he knows you're going to have him change his mind several more times, so he might as well think of something silly, like straight up through the roof with his body. So he thinks of it, and then you say, go there, and that failed. It has more effect than you would look for. Now let's take directional machines, and let's find out that direction and evaluation are much the same thing. That is to say, directing a person from one place to another place in this universe is much the same as any kind of evaluation. Or is evaluation. All right? By moving the preclear from one point to another, you are changing his position in space. You are, to some degree, breaking his report and agreements with other people who have directed him around. Now let's take somebody who's been in the Army. He's been in the Army for a long time, and he got a lot of drilling, and this maybe looks to him like close-order drill. Now, you as an auditor start moving him to this corner of the room and that corner of the room and so forth. Looks to him like drilling. Do you know that when people tell him to go someplace, it's still some kind of a mock-up of his first sergeant or captain or somebody? You know, it's still passing through that lineup. Well, it gives him a chance to break free. He can see clearly that it is the auditor sending him around. Something else can send him around. But there's a big difference between opening procedure and close order drill in the Army. In opening procedure, he is told where he is going to go before he goes. In the Army, he's simply told to go. Never told where to go. You'll find there's a tremendous scarcity on this case of where to go. He's actually running a scarcity on it. You start to run opening procedure on ex-military men, and you'll get interesting manifestations such as tiredness. You'll get boredom, anger, upset, and a tremendous certainty that it's doing absolutely no good. This they're certain of beyond anything else. But you know what they're really certain of? They're not certain that your auditing's doing no good. They're just certain that Army close-order drill's no good. And you brought that certainty up to the front. Well, they'll run on out through that, giving them an opportunity then to do something that they have never done before, which is actually, with a second step, choosing a place to go and going there.